Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let's bow our heads before him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for the Sabbath day and the opportunity to assemble ourselves together to meet with you. Meet now with us. Fill us with your Spirit. Equip us to worship you. May he be glorified in our assembly, and may we become more like him. May it be obvious to those around us. We pray these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is not Psalm 118. Janet didn't make a mistake. I made a change. Instead, please turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, and we will read the first 14 verses. 1 Chronicles 17, 1 through 14. Let's hear God's inerrant word. And it came to pass, when David was dwelling in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of Yahweh is under tent curtains. Then Nathan said to David, Do all that's in your heart, for God is with you. But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus says Yahweh, You shall not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the time I brought up Israel, even to this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have moved about with all Israel, have I spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, Thus says Yahweh of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, that you should be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off your enemies from before you, and have made you a name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more, as previously, since the time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Also I will subdue all your enemies. Furthermore, I tell you, Yahweh will build you a house. And it shall be, when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, then I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him who was before you. And I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word of God to the Apostles' Creed on page 845 in your hymnals. And we'll use this ancient summary of the Christian faith to confess that faith to our God and our Father. Christian, what is it you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our New Testament reading is Peter's first epistle, chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. 1 Peter 2, beginning with verse 4, let's hear God's inerrant word. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go together in prayer. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks again for the Sabbath day and the opportunity we have to assemble together. We give you thanks that we will, in a few moments, be coming to the table where we have an opportunity to taste and see that the Lord is good, to drink that which is the lifeblood of the water of life, and to eat the bread which is the sign and seal of the flesh of him who is the bread of life. I pray that we will come prepared and that we will be fed indeed by Jesus Christ, drawing our life from him. We pray for our nation. We pray for wisdom for those who rule over us. And we pray, Father, for those who are obstinately wicked, that you would thwart their plans. For those who seek to serve you, that you would strengthen them and encourage them. Not because our nation deserves it. We don't. But we pray it mostly, Father, for the sake of the church. Not that the church deserves it. But you have used the church here for many generations to take the gospel not only across North America, but across the globe. And we pray that that might continue. That is our focus, the building of your kingdom, the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is why we ask that you would strengthen your church here and that you would bless the nation, that the church might also be blessed. Now, Father, direct our thoughts and our minds to your word. And glorify Christ in our assembly, I pray. Amen. Sometimes I am really forgetful. All week long, I have been working on this passage. And I knew it was Lord's Supper. I knew it was Communion Sunday. But for some reason, it just didn't click until yesterday. And I kind of, I don't have 30 minutes. What am I going to do? And I tried working on that and working on it, and then this is what's known as illumination. The Spirit of God helped me to make certain connections. Now, it wasn't that he spoke to me with an audible voice and gave me new revelation. If so, you should pick up stones and cast them at me. No, he just helped me to remember things I already knew, to make those neural synapses connect and spark together. So we're looking this morning at just one little portion of verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. The phrase there, being built up a spiritual house, is interesting because the verb has as the first part of the word, the form of the word house. So if you're going to try to translate it and get across some of the word picture there, it might be we're building a building or we're house raising a house. Of course, the problem with house raising is we might think of Amish with their post and beam construction, or you might think of the modern construction where people, you nail together the wall and then you lift it up and use 2x4s to hold it there till you get the other walls up. That's how we built my dad's house. But this is a house with stones. And that brings another wrinkle in. When I was thinking about this, and I gave Janet yesterday the title, Working on a Building, because she didn't like the other one I had, which was Stoners. I don't know why she objected to that. But, and you'll figure that one out in 2 weeks. All I could think of was John Fogerty, who was one of my favorite musicians in CCR, but he did two albums after Creedence, and I don't remember which of them. One is Blue Ridge Rangers, which is very famous, and the other one was rarely heard of, has not been reproduced on CD, but I have the vinyl. Anyway, there's a song where he does called Working on a Building, and I promise you I will not sing it for you, because I am merciful. But there's the line, working. It's an old song, Working on a Building, for my Lord, it's a Holy Ghost building. And if you look at your text, I wonder if that song is built on this, because it also refers to a spiritual house. And it's rooted from the Greek word for spirit. No, actually it's not. It's rooted on the Greek word which we know of as logic. And it sometimes can be translated reasonable or logical. It can also be translated spiritual. But there's another step. Remember when we went through Revelation, how I kept telling you the best way to understand Revelation is to know your English Bible very, very well, so that as you read things in your English Bible and Revelation, you're connected to stuff throughout the rest of the Old Testament? Well, that's where the penny really dropped for me. House? And that's why we didn't read Psalm 118. Turn back with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Because there's some beautiful stuff here. I love this passage anyway. I usually end up weeping at God's mercy. If you remember David, he's dwelling in his house. And if you read the Greek translation, it's the same word that's translated house in 1 Peter. And David's saying, look, I live in this beautiful house. It's made of cedar. It smells good. No one eats none of the bugs are in here to eat our clothing. And God's in a tent. And Nathan encourages him, do it, until God gives him a message. Verse 4, you shall not build a house for me to dwell in. And the word build there is the same word build back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And the word house is the same word found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It's in the Greek translation. And it shows up several times in this story. You shall not build me a house. And then the part that really brings tears to my eyes is verse 10. Where David wants to build a house for God. God says, you will not build me a house. I will build you a house. Same verb, same noun. And then I will establish, when you're dead and you go to your fathers, I'll set up your seed after you. And this is one of those times where texts in Scripture have both an immediate or short-term fulfillment and a long-term fulfillment. Because it is fulfilled in King Solomon, his son. But the far greater fulfillment is found in another son of David's, Jesus of Nazareth. He shall build me a house. And this is the same verb and the same noun as in 1 Peter 4, 5. And I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father. He shall be my son. And if you aren't hearing Psalm 2 right now, you should be. And if you're not hearing Jesus referring to God as my father, you should be. I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him who was before you. I will establish him in my house and my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever according to all these words and according to all his vision. So did Nathan speak to David. And so we have this statement that, no, David's not going to build the house for Yahweh. God's going to build a house for David. And David's son will build a house. And Solomon builds a real physical house. But remember, Scripture, we conservatives often say, I believe in the literal interpretation, and we do, but you have to understand that when that was first invented, that phraseology, in the Reformation, literal did not mean what we mean by it. It meant literary. Sometimes a literature is literal, and sometimes it's figurative, and there are numerous kinds of figures of speech. So when we read in 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 2 and verse 5, that we are living stones, well, some of you might have rocks in your head, and some of us might be stubborn as a rock. Some of us might be bright as a rock, but we're not really living stones, are we? Which then comes to, this is why the working on a building or house raising isn't like the construction we use today, because this is a building that's made out of rock or dressed stones. In 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7, as Kings relates the construction of the temple, we're told something very interesting about the stones. Hiram had men to help Solomon, and Solomon had his own workers. The Canaanites who still dwelt in the land, they quarry the rock, and they dressed the rock at the quarry so that there was no sound of iron's tools being used where the temple was being built. In seventh grade, and for those of you interested in ancient history, that was the academic year of 1966-67, I got to go to a rock quarry for the only time I ever had any geology studies, which is making Mark snicker since he has a master's degree in geology. But they took us there because the Appalachian Mountains were once volcanoes. And we got to see where there was a place where the volcanic rock came up through the... It all looked gray to me. I don't remember very clearly. There was an area where you could see that things were broken, and we were told that that had been an earthquake at one point in time. But what I took away was not only seeing the column of old lava, but the rock guillotine. Because they would take these huge slabs of rock, they'd break them off from the side, and they'd come into this machine, and this huge metal knife slammed down, and a chunk of rock would roll off. If I remember correctly, it'd be about 4 foot long, and about 1 foot high, 1 foot, because it had already been shaped, 1 foot. And then they would bring it through again and chop it into four, one by one by one, blocks of stone. That's called dressing. Before the Industrial Revolution, if you dressed a rock, you took a hammer and a chisel and you shaped it. Did you know that Michelangelo used to do that? It's part of his training for the beautiful artistry he did. He worked with the stonemasons shaping stone, learning how not to hit it so it didn't break. Ben didn't get to do this. Michael and I, in Boy Scout camp, got to get rocks and chisel our initials in them and had to carry them all day. And the bad thing is, we had to have 14-pound rocks, if I remember correctly, and mine was 14 and an ounce after it was chiseled. I was trying to get as small as possible. But if you're chiseling, you could break that sandstone. And so I think that happened to me. I think I broke my rock and had to go look for another rock. But the stones are shaped, and they're shaped to be fitted together in the building. Turn with me then, 1 Peter chapter 2. As living stones are being built into a building, house raising a house, to try to get some of the idea that the words are being repeated. The word spiritual in the Greek order comes afterwards. It's a house that's spiritual. We're being fitted for this building. Elsewhere in the New Testament, we have the same kind of imagery. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, we have references to the temple of God and the Spirit of God who dwells in you, both in verse 3:16 and 3:17, and the defiling of the temple. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, we also have a reference to our body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, the agreement of the temple of God with idols, you are the temple of the living God. In Ephesians chapter 2, we have a reference to the whole building being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You see, the first Christ, Solomon, sitting on David's throne, did build a house for Yahweh. But the greater Solomon, the greater David, the second Adam, the greater David, is also building a house, a temple, and you and I are the building blocks. And we are being dressed, fitted into our place. You see, you might wonder, well, if we're Christians, Why is Nancy McClyman going through such agony with her cancer? Why is our brother Tim, not much more than a year ago, afraid that his wife is shortly going to be taken from him? Joe Oxella was sharing with me yesterday. He said, you know, I had a gallbladder attack. I know what you feel. Well, I don't know what he feels. I've never had a gallbladder attack. Dina did. She collapsed on the stairs. The pain was so severe. I have no idea what that feels like. I don't ever want to know what that feels like. Some of us go through other pains. We've lost, my brother Ray lost several children. One child just before birth. We heard about a baby yesterday that died just before childbirth. But at 1 week, the baby was alive and healthy, and the next week, the mother has a dead baby in her belly. I can't imagine the pain. Why? The master stonemason is shaping his stones to fit in the temple. Because we're not nice, squared-off blocks. Again, we may be blockheads, some of us, sometimes. But we're wild rock, and we have to be dressed, and we have to be fitted in this house, but it's not a house made out of real stones. I mean, after all, the phrase, living stones, when's the last time you listened to the heartbeat of a stone? Or saw it breathe? It's obviously not literal, but we are the building blocks of this building. And God is doing the building. Not like the song, I'm working on a building for my Lord. The Lord is working on a building for himself. And we're the building. And we're the building materials. And he's fitting us in together. And it's a spiritual building. And here's where we come to the table. The verse in English says, you also. How is it that you and I become living stones, living rocks? Because, verse 4, we've come to the living stone. 2 weeks from today, we'll deal much more with that. But it's our connection to Christ. Because he's the living stone and we've come to him, we're living stones. He is the vine and we're the branches. Different image, same basic meaning. It is Christ who has given us life. We are just as dead as a rock spiritually. And now we're living stones built in a spiritual house, a new temple. There will never again be a temple built on the top of Jerusalem. On Mount Zion. We are the temple. And God is shaping us for our spot in that wall, in that building. We lean on each other. Has anyone ever seen bricks or block being laid? My dad did the laying for the stone of our house, the rock, or the blocks. Those blocks rest on each other. They need each other. You never put them like you might do with the Legos in the nursery, stack them all the way up like that. That's very weak. You lay them across each other. You start from the corners and build out, and we'll get to that in 2 weeks as well. The rocks need each other to hold together. I am the temple of the living God. My body is the temple of the living God, but I'm not the temple all by myself. I'm the temple with you, and I need to be shaped to fit with you, and you need to be shaped to fit with me. And fitting doesn't happen until Christ returns. With the temple now, we are living stones because we're connected to the living stone because of what he has done for us in giving us life. Brothers and sisters, when you have those pains and those heartaches, those lonely spots, whatever it is that God is allowing you to go through that I don't understand and I can't feel but need to feel for you and with you, that's the master fitting you in and fitting me in together. as living stones. He's working on a building, and it's a Holy Ghost building. As we come to this table, may we draw the life we need to be built into this spiritual house, the house of Yahweh, together, because we need one another. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before Him. Our Father and our God, we give You thanks for Your word. And I thank You for helping me see the connections that my Bible tools didn't give me. You built a house for David, and You are building a house for us. And we are the house. And it's a living house. Because we, the building materials, are alive because of Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone of this building. Dear God, we would ask of You that You would build us in Him, and with Him, and with one another. And we need each other. Help us to lean upon one another and depend upon one another as we all lean together upon Christ, who holds us up. He is the foundation, and I would ask that You would help us to build upon it, not with wood, hay, and stubble, but with precious stones. Stones that are precious because Jesus bought them with His blood. Feed us from the table that we may grow in grace and be a glorious building for our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. In Matthew's gospel, we read, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" The Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Until His coming again, it is to be observed for a perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of Himself in His death. The physical elements representing the broken body and shed blood of the Savior are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of His sacrifice upon the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ, and are a bond and pledge of communion of believers with Him and with each other as members of His mystical body. As the signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God. They call us to a renewed consecration in gratitude for His salvation. It is my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and without repentance live in any sin not to approach the holy table, lest they partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink condemnation to themselves. This warning is not designed to keep humble and contrite sinners, humble and repentant sinners, from the table. This supper is not for those who are free from sin. On the contrary, those of us who have been invited come as guilty and polluted sinners. We come without any hope of eternal life, apart from the grace of God in Christ. We confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ. We base our hope of eternal life upon His perfect obedience and righteousness, and we humbly resolve to deny ourselves, to crucify our old natures, and to follow Christ. This is perfectly proper for those who bear His name. Therefore, following the admonition of the Apostle Paul, let's examine our own minds to determine whether we have this kind of discernment, to the end that we may partake, that to the glory of God and to our own growth in grace in Christ. Let's bow our heads and hearts. Our Lord, we ask your blessings on the bread, which is the sign and seal of the body of Christ, the bread of life, broken for us. By his wounds we were healed. And we pray that we would draw our life and our strength from him as we receive that which is the sign and seal of that body. Bless it to us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. The same night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Father, we ask that you would bless to us the cup, which is the sign and seal of the blood of the Lamb of God, which was spilled that we might be made clean and pure. It is by his blood that we have been purchased from the slave market of sin. He is the water of life, and this cup is the sign and seal of that life. Bless it to us as that sign and seal, we pray. In Christ's precious name, amen. After the supper, our Savior also took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it." Our Father and our God, Christ is not a loaf of bread or a jug of wine, but as we find so often in your word, those things express to us a spiritual truth underneath the literal meaning. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. He is the vine, and we're the branches. He's our life. That living stone made us living stones. And Father, Son, and Spirit, you are dressing us to fit us into your house. That you dwell in us individually and in us corporately. And not just this small assembly, but all of the church through all of the ages are being built into the temple of the living God. Feed us. Strengthen us. Help us, like the stones of a wall, to lean on one another and to hold each other together as we collectively lean on King Jesus. Build us up corporately and build us up individually that we might be like the chief cornerstone, that people might be seeing him in us, and he might be glorified in us. We pray this of you in Christ's precious name. Amen.